Morning, going to read from Ephesians 5 and 6, and also from Romans chapter 13. Again, our reading at Ephesians 5. Verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as unto the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. And now if you would turn a moment to the first verse in Romans chapter 13. In fact, we'll read the first two verses there. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Based on these other passages of God's Word, we have the teaching of Lord's Day 39, page 22 in the back of your Psalters, page 22, we have Lord's Day 39. One question and answer on the fifth commandment. Question 104. What doth God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleaseth God to govern us by their hand. May the Lord bless the preaching of His Word. Beloved in our Lord Jesus, we begin this morning our study of the second table of the law. And as we begin our study of the second table of the law, it is important that we put this fifth commandment in its proper perspective. We are to love the neighbor for God's sake. The basic principle of the whole law is that we must love God. In other words, without love for God, it is impossible to have the proper love for our neighbor either. So we love the neighbor for the sake of God. And here in the fifth commandment, we honor and we obey those in authority over us for the sake of God. God has placed them over us. Therefore, we are obedient and we submit. So this commandment really comes to believers only in Christ Jesus. Are we able to fulfill this law, carry it out by the grace of God through the power of the Holy Spirit given to us in our Lord Jesus Christ? And this law is preached to us, the church, because this is the way we demonstrate our love for God. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And this particular commandment, the fifth commandment, is at the head of the whole second table of the law. That is natural. It is to be expected, because it begins with a foundation for society, for relationships with one another, the home. The home is foundational. It is the beginning. It is the basis. It is the root of all other relationships that exist and develop in the human race. So we begin with a home. And in the home, the chief, the fundamental relationship is that of authority and obedience. With that, the Scripture addresses the people of God in all ages. Honor thy father and thy mother. And the Catechism explains that fifth commandment, applying it not only to the home, but to every relationship of authority and obedience in human society. Authority, obedience. The Catechism writer puts these words on our mouth and answer, what does God command? And we say with the Catechism, I shall show all proper love, fidelity, and obedience to all that are in authority over me. So honoring those in authority, we need to ask, well, whose authority is it? Authority in what areas? And we have here a commandment with a promise attached. What is that authority? What is this principle of authority? We need to do that with God's Word in mind from Romans chapter 13. There is no power but of God. What makes one an authority figure? What allows one to rule over someone else? And the world often associates authority and rule with physical power, might, strength, ability. You can rule over another person if you're stronger than them. And so Russia now goes into another country. It's going to push its might around. The bully on the playground pushes the younger kids or the weaker ones around. Perhaps the older brother or the sister, instead of being a loving brother or sister, is tyrannical. How many parents act that way? You'll do what I say because I said it and I'm stronger than you. The world associates authority and rule with physical power, with might, with superiority. Might makes right. But that is not a Christian view whatsoever. Rather, authority is a deeply spiritual thing, a spiritual power given or vested in a person. It is the right, it is the ability to determine what is right and what is just, and then that person has the authority or the right to demand certain behavior or conduct with laws and with rules. And that person has the right to judge others according to those rules and those laws and to punish evildoers. So authority is the right to rule, the right to impose one's mind and will over another. And where does that power come from? Where does that power come from? And the answer is God. God is Lord over all, sovereign. He rules over all things because He is the Creator. He rules over the inanimate things such as the sun and the moon and the stars, the light and the darkness, days and nights, seasons, oceans and seas and rivers. He rules over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the animals that creep on the ground. All these things are subject to God's authority, and He rules over them day and night without their will. They have to obey Him. God is ruler over all of His moral subjects, that is, angels and people. He's ruler over the good angels, but also the evil angels. He is the ruler over the righteous, but he is also the ruler over the wicked. God rules over the wicked and the evil angels in his might, so that they do his bidding even against their own desires. And God rules over his people, his church, and over the good angels in his grace. God has sovereign authority because he is Lord. We read in Psalm 103, verse 19, "The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all." So the principle here on the fifth commandment is the sovereignty of God. And God now confers authority on others. That is, they rule on his behalf. And we recognize immediately that God has conferred all authority on his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, as the second person of the Trinity, Christ always ruled, but Christ Jesus in our human flesh, as our mediator, as the head of the human race, is given now that rule because of his obedience to his Father. It's his reward. When he was raised from the dead, he ascended up into heaven, and he was placed over all things. So that Jesus says to his disciples, before he's going to leave them, Matthew 28, verse 18, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me." Or as the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "For he hath put all things under his feet." Christ rules. In the same chapter that we read this morning from, in the same epistle, we read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and following, "Oh, that we may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he hath wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is to be named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." And we have a passage much like that in Philippians chapter 2. Many, many other passages. God rules, and now God rules through his vice-regent. He rules through the one that he has set over us in his name, that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And because God rules through Christ Jesus, that is why the Apostle Paul, in our passage, in other passages, emphasize, boys and girls, children, obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord. It is Christ's rule over you. Or in the marketplace. Regardless whether you have a pleasant boss or an ogre, one who is very unpleasant to work for. God's Word says in Ephesians chapter 6, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." When it comes to government, Romans 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So God confers authority to Christ, and Christ confers authority to various individuals in the different spheres of life. So we have the authority of parents. That authority of parents is not an inherent authority. That is, the parents don't have that authority just because they begat children. The authority of the teacher in the classroom is not an authority just because they went to school and became a teacher. The authority of deacons and of elders and of pastors in the church are not an authority that they inherently have in themselves and their own persons. The authority of government officials is certainly not because it was the will of the people that gave them those positions. The authority of the employer is not such that it's because he gives work to the people. The Lord uses all these means and circumstances, but it is God who has authority. And it is God who places those various individuals in their positions. He confers authority on them. God's authority. God rules in Christ. What does that mean? What are the implications? At length, I emphasized this morning that all authority is from God, God's sovereignty, conferred on different individuals for this reason. If we do not obey those individuals that God has placed over us, conferred His authority on, then it is not merely rebellion against those individuals, but it is a rebellion against God and God's authority. If wives will not submit to their husbands, their sin isn't just against the husband, it is against God. You boys and girls, if you will not honor and obey your parents, it's not just a rebellion against your parents, it's a rebellion against God. If you don't obey your teachers in school, if you don't do the best of your work in the business place, if you do not honor those in government, it's not just Obama you're poking fun of, or your teacher you're poking fun of, or laughing at. But you are laughing at, raising your fist up against God who placed each of these individuals good, or perhaps not so good, over you. That means, second of all, by way of implication, that those who rule, whether in government, whether in our schools, whether it be in the Church of Jesus Christ, or whether it be in the home, husbands, parents, they must rule according to the precepts of Christ Jesus. They have to rule in His name. They have to rule for His sake. They must serve the Lord. In other words, each one of those in their positions cannot put their finger up in the air and say, which way is the wind blowing? What do the people want? What do my children want? What does society say is right? But what is the Lord's will? They rule in God's name for His sake. Those who rule then are responsible to Christ Jesus and through Him to God. And they will give an account. And they need God's grace then to be faithful. And again, that's why it is only really believers that can keep this commandment. It is only believers that can keep this commandment. Out of love for God, given grace by God to honor and obey those in authority over them. And the third implication is that they will give an account. Husbands, what did you do for your wives? How did you rule your homes? As Christ loves His church and gives Himself for it, or a tyrannical ruler? Parents, how do you rule your children? Elders, deacons, pastor, how do you rule the church? Each will give an account. And when we, by God's grace, strive to be pleasing to Him, the sins that stain all of our labors, thankfully, are washed away by the blood of our Lord Jesus, and we will hear from Him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy master." Now, we recognize that all those in authority over us do not stand in that place of authority in God's grace, but they stand in those positions by God's power. We think especially those in the governments over us. Some of them are bad. They make bad decisions. Morally, their lives are nothing good. They don't acknowledge God. They don't rule by His ordinances. And yet God's Word says, honor. Romans chapter 13, when Paul writes about the government officials, there wasn't a pleasant man ruling from Rome, but an ungodly man. But nevertheless, the rule comes, honor those in authority over. Obey those in authority over. They are God's ministers. We have to obey them for Christ's sake. With only one exception, which we'll get at later on. Honor. And at all times, submit, obey, with that one exception. We do it because we love God. We do it for God's sake, for Christ's sake, as unto Him. Honor thy father and thy mother. So let's look at that delegated authority, that conferred authority, authority of God Himself through Christ Jesus through various different spheres. The home. Honor. What does it mean to honor? Maybe we need to answer that question first a moment. From both the Hebrew and the Greek word, the idea is to estimate the worth of, to stand and revere, to hold high, to acknowledge then the worth of that person. Let's put that in perspective. We are to honor God. That is, by grace, to see Him as He is and to acknowledge Him that He is God and He is God alone, no one else. It is to fear, it is to love, it is to obey, it is to praise Him as the adorable God. Now God says that honor that is due to me alone, I want you to demonstrate it in your everyday relationships, in the home, etc., etc., etc. Estimate the worth of, hold in reverence, acknowledge. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor, love, be loyal to, obey your parents. Esteem them. That's not only when you're little and young, but even as we get older. We esteem those whom God has made parents over us, so that when they become old and feeble and perhaps are foolish, still, Leviticus 19, verse 3, ye shall fear every man his mother and his father. The hoary head, the gray-haired head, honor your parents. Because of sin, as boys and girls, as children, quite often, when we don't get our way, we become angry with our parents. Perhaps we even loathe our parents. Perhaps we even say, if God would have only given me parents like so-and-so has. Or as we become teenagers, we start belittling the parents. What do they know? Why should they tell me how I have to run my life, who I may see, how, what time I have to get into the house by grumbling? And yes, you will see the failures of your parents, their weaknesses, because they're sinful. Oh, how Ham must have laughed that day when Father Noah wasn't behaving himself. Look at the drunken old man, said Ham. Honor. Forbear, be patient with their weaknesses. Not only in the home, but also in the school. Because the school, of course, originates out of the home, not out of the government. Boys and girls, how do you talk to your parents? How do you talk about your parents with one another? In Proverbs chapter 31, we read of children who rise up and call their mother blessed. Honor. When Joseph became a mighty leader, ruler in Egypt, we find him bowing down to his father when he came to Egypt. Or when Solomon was placed upon the throne and his mother Bathsheba came in to see him, he got down from the throne and he bowed himself before his mother. Or let's look at our Lord Jesus Christ when he was in our flesh, the perfect one. And his mother and his father didn't understand what he was doing, and they were a little bit cross with him when they had to travel all the way back to Jerusalem. And we read that he honored them, he obeyed them. The sinless one obeyed and honored his sinful parents. Honor means also then obedience. children, obey your parents. We read in Colossians 3, verse 20, in all things, not just the things that you think are wise and good that you like, in all things. That means hear their instructions and don't say, oh, don't give me another sermon. Comply with their commands. And yes, as our parents get older and perhaps feeble, you married children or single children, honor those parents and take care of those parents. How much complaining there is today about middle-aged children who have to take care of their elderly parents or visit them. Think of our Lord Jesus Christ in His dying moments on the cross. His heart goes out to the mother that He's leaving behind. He cares for her needs by entrusting her, giving her over to His disciple John. Honor and obey your parents. Of course, that obedience continues, children, as long as you are in the home. Maybe some of you are 21, 22, and you say, well, I'm of legal age now. As long as you are in the home, we are called to obey those parents. It's when you establish your new home, whether single or in marriage, then the obedience belongs in that sphere. Honor and obey. And we need to teach. We need to teach our children that by wives obeying your husbands, submitting to them. And husbands obeying and submitting to Christ. And if they have rebellious mothers in the home and rebellious fathers in the home, don't be surprised then, parents, if you find your children rebelling against you. Why should they listen to you any more than the wife listens to her husband, any more than the husband listens to Christ, or the husband listens to his earthly employer and honors him, etc.? Parents, we are pictures to our children of the honor and obedience that must be given. Doing it as unto Christ. I mentioned already the school. Boys and girls, those teachers or the administrator stand over you because they stand in the place of, they are asked to serve in the place of your parents. And that is why we have parental schools, not public schools, and not church schools. Children, you have to honor, respect, and obey your teachers just as you do your parents. And yes, be patient with their failures also. Don't badmouth your teachers, but obey them. Or expect punishment from your parents. And parents, don't always stand behind your children, somehow making excuses for your children. Just as they are called to honor and obey you, they must honor and obey the teachers in our schools. The church. In our prayer, we thank God that we have Christ dwelling in our midst. Is that way the way we esteem the special offices in the church? Even as the elders are busy setting up nominations again for those offices, prayerfully considering those offices, Christ is pleased to rule through them. Do we see in the office of pastor Christ Jesus as our prophet instructing us? Do we see and the elders, Christ Jesus, our King, ruling. In the office of deacon, Christ Jesus as our sympathetic priest, caring for us. All three offices have authority, spiritual authority. They act in the name of Christ Jesus, who is the head of His church. And that's why we do not have women office bearers. There's authority in every one of those ecclesiastical offices. Authority vested in the local church by Christ Himself. And therefore, we have to honor those offices, pray for those in those offices, listen to those in those offices, hearing their instruction, complying with their decisions. And not saying then, do I like those decisions? Am I in agreement with those decisions? There's authority. Whether on the local level, whether it be on the classical level, or whether it be on the synodical level, we labor together as churches. Not bad-mouthing it, but submitting for Christ's sake. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as those that have to give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. In the newest Beacon Lights, one of our pastors writes about his call to the ministry. And then he writes to other young men about desire for the ministry. He has a whole list of reasons don't become a minister if you want to do something else, or if you can do something else, because there's disappointments. You're going to face hardships. You have to be rather strong because there's going to be the billy goats in the midst of the congregation. And young pastors at times wanting to throw up their hands and quit. Your office bearers labor for Christ under God's authority. Love them. Pray for them. For that will be good for you. They will give an account. May they do it with joy and not with grief. And then the workplace. If you have a good employer, give thanks to God. It's wonderful to work in that kind of a place. Fellow Christians laboring together. Beautiful words that you could share together. But many of us don't have that opportunity. We work in heathen places. Perhaps a boss that's stingy. Or that's never nothing good to say. Do you work hard when he's around? And if he's gone, bad-mouth him, slack off. And God's Word says, no. No, if you love me. Obey your employer. Honor him. Seek his gain. Even if he's getting richer and richer and you're not making much. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, 1 Peter 2, verse 18, but also to the froward. Fathers, how do you talk about your employers back home? What do the kids hear? What does your wife hear? Do you speak well? The civil government. The policemen. The judges. The governors or the president. Our congressmen. They have authority from God. They are His ministers. An authority that rests not in their person or in their character, but in the position God has placed them in. honor them, obey them, driving the proper speeds on the road. At this time of the year, paying those taxes that are demanded. Honor and obey for God's sake. In the service of Christ Jesus. And then all those who are older. When I was a young boy, we were taught very carefully how we had to show respect to those who were older, not calling them by their first name, but Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so. We read in Leviticus 19, verse 32, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord." We honor those who are older for their wisdom, for the position God has put them in the church. They're important to the church. And may our older saints recognize their importance. Perhaps they despair of life at times. They wonder, why does God continue to give me life when life is difficult for them? No, God is wise. God is good. He gives us each day. May we honor those who are the elderly amongst us. Honor and obey with all fidelity. Are there any exceptions? Are there any limitations? As I said, many are the times that those in authority, with their character or their decisions, make bad mistakes or sin grievously. Do we diss them then? I used the example earlier of Noah, a godly man. He walked with God, we read of him. But he was a sinner. He enjoyed too much wine made out of fruit. And laying there in his drunken stupor, naked in his tent. As I said, Ham mocked. He went out from the tent, broadcasting to his brothers, "Look at the old man. Drunk as a skunk. Naked as a jailbird." And then we read of Shem and of Japheth walking backward in order to cover up the nakedness of their father. Boys and girls, young people, maybe older saints, your parents might do some rather stupid things, foolish things, sinful things. They're sinners. Rather than broadcasting it, rather than looking down your nose in disgust at them, pray for them, love them, honor them, speak the best of them. Try to cover up for them, as Shem and Japheth did for Father Noah. All the characterizations of our president, we laugh, don't we? We have even fun with it at times. Careful. The world can do that, but we are children of God. We might not like the character, we might not like the decisions that they stand for, but there is one who has placed him into the office of president. He is God's minister. We better honor him in that office. God calls us to bear patiently with the infirmities of those who rule over us. And there's only one exception that we do not have to obey. If they command us to do something that we may not, we cannot, before God, do. Daniel, when he stood before Darius's order, Darius very foolishly listened to some of his advisors, and he made a rule that no one could ask, make any request or any prayer to anyone else than the king. And Daniel had to disobey. 3 times a day he would face Jerusalem to make prayers to his God. He didn't diss the king. He honored him, but he had to disobey. John and Peter had to disobey the religious leaders in their day. They said, we must preach Christ. We must obey God rather than man. But that's the only example. If someone commands us, whether it be a parent, whether it be a teacher, whether it be a government official, to disobey God, we have to say no. Respecting them, I have to obey God rather than man. This is a commandment with a promise attached, but as you saw from Romans, also a threat. Those who do not obey those in the positions that God has placed over make themselves liable to damnation. But to those by the grace of God who are obedient. In the Old Testament, there was the promise to God's people, keep my commandments, obey. Obey parent, children, your parents and the Lord. Then as a people, the congregation of Israel would dwell long in the land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey. They didn't dwell there real long, did they? Rather short time because of disobedience. But that promise that was a type in the land of Canaan is the promise to the church. Obey God. These commandments are for your good. Obey the Lord and you will dwell long in the land which the Lord has promised for you. That is the new heavens and the new earth where we will dwell with Christ forever. Obey His commandments. Obey those in authority over us. How can we do that? We have sinful natures, rebellious natures. And the answer is we look away from ourselves to Him who is the obedient servant of Jehovah. He obeyed His Father even when it meant going to the cross. He honored those around Him in His life, not reviling when He was reviled. But He went to the cross to bring that perfect obedience that covers over all of our sins. And we look to Him with His shed blood and His poured out Spirit. He is the one who enables you and me to keep this commandment. Not in our own strength. We say, for Christ's sake, by His grace, I'll honor my parents. I'll obey. I will not rebel. I will not be part of a labor union in the marketplace. I will honor those in the church for God's sake. Amen. Father in heaven, rule us. Oh, rule us in Thy grace. Make us those who love Thee, who love the Christ, and for Christ's sake, honor and obey those who are over us in the Lord Jesus. That Thy name may receive honor and glory. We're not rebellious, as we see rebellion all around us in this world. We are those who obey for Thy sake. Amen. Psalter number 1. The blessing of the righteous. We'll sing stanzas 1, 2, and 5. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be yours. Amen.